Wherever I travel in Latin America, people are quick to identify some place or some items, some point of interest that stands out in the city of Houston. Houston, Texas is famous around the world because of oil, petroleum, because of the medical center, the space center, and because of sports. Some of you may be too young to remember all the commotion about the Astrodome when it was built and how impressive that facility was. But our city and our metropolitan area has become very famous also because of religion. One particular church in the area is the cause, is the reason why Houston is beginning to be known as a religious city. And I am referring to the Lakewood Church. Its preacher, Joel Osteen. I've never met him. I've heard him preach. I make it a point to hear what he says because he has a huge following. The other day I was in Argentina and I heard their Spanish preacher preach at Lakewood. I don't know whether Mr. Osteen or his group knows what this guy is preaching, but he was preaching that particular day how easy it is to become famous and rich. Now, Mr. Osteen, you got to give him credit. He doesn't come out boldly and says that, but reading between the lines and following his arguments, his sermons and his studies, you get a pretty good idea as to what he is advancing in his church. Back in 2005, they moved into the old Compact Center. And they have gone international now. Everywhere I go, people ask me if I am associated with Mr. Osteen. And I am quick to say that I'm not. That I do not. And also that I do not agree with what he teaches. All of this to say that it is somewhat interesting to hear what people think of Lakewood. In the year 2005, when they were opening the facility at Compact Center, all of the local media wanted to have an interview, and they obliged them. And I made it a point to sit and listen to some of those interviews because it was very interesting to hear. And one of the questions that was asked of Mr. Osteen was, is it true that you rather not talk about sin and repentance? You know, that big old smile that you think he turns it on with a switch, you know. And he talked about how they were misunderstood. But all during the interview, he finally admitted that, well, we try our best not to deal in negatives. So in their vocabulary, sin and repentance is a negative. Just a couple of weeks ago, he was again on CNN. And he was asked about homosexuality and whether that was viewed as a sin by Lakewood. Well, again, you know, he was on the hot seat. And finally, he said, let me tell you that we don't view homosexuality as acceptable. But there are many other sins. And boy, when he said that, I said, man, about time you pronounce the word. There are many other sins in the Bible. Well, that's true. But they don't want to talk about sin and repentance. Brethren, let me tell you this morning that it is somewhat interesting to read and to hear what people have to say about sin and repentance. And without a doubt, I have to admit that these two words are very controversial. I have to admit that this is not a happy conversation. And I also know that not very many people are going to walk across town to go hear somebody talk about sin and repentance. I know that. I found out about that. Not too many people are interested in hearing about sin and repentance. But I want us to understand that it is very true that these two words are seldom mentioned. And when you look at Lakewood and other religious people, this is a very big negative. They don't want to talk about sin in the religious world because it's not attractive. You're not going to bring in people if you announce and you're going to say, well, we're going to be talking about sin in general and we want to deal with how to fix it, how to correct it, how to make things right. Well, people are not going to be interested in that. But not only in the religious world, but among the worldly people. Have you noticed that? The Hollywood crowd. You know, they don't want to talk about sin and repentance. Sports heroes. Politicians. You know, this is a conversation that is not very attractive. It's not going to build up friendship. It's going to destroy friendships. It's going to destroy families if you bring up the subject of sin. And that is why these two words are seldom mentioned and talked about, because these two words have an undesirable meaning. Three words that come to mind: accountability, responsibility, and guilt. And these are real problems in the real world. In the home, in school, in the workplace, in society in general, people do not want to face up to their being accountable before God. People do not want to be responsible for their actions. And because of this, people don't want to feel guilty. And when you talk of sin and repentance, you are pretty much doing precisely that. But let me also point out that these two words that are seldom mentioned, they create a good feeling environment. When people choose not to use in their worship, in their sermons, in their classes, a talk about sin and repentance, you know, everybody feels very comfortable because a subject that is very controversial is not being mentioned. Also, this kind of creates a Disneyland religion. The make-believe. And people are misguided by these people because they get the idea that sin is nowhere near where they are. Sin is out there somewhere. far from them. That's where sin is. It's not here. It's not in my house. It's not in my vocabulary. It's not in my family. It's not in the church. It's nowhere else. I mean, you know, and when you hear this and when you see it, well, you kind of believe that that's exactly what it is. But what it is, it's a religion that gives false hope and a false sense of security. Although you feel like it's good, you begin to feel like it's the right thing, but what it does, it gives you a false sense of security. And people are having a very difficult time in dealing with this. But you know what is scary about this thing is the fact that this idea, this religion that is put forward in the name of God offers nothing more than a good feeling. That's the scary thing about it, brethren. That is what worries me to death, is the fact that people are talking about this as though this was true in the name of God, and people are eating it up. It is so sad. But you know, this is nothing new. Because over in Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 8 through 12, the prophet was exhorting the false teachers and how they were changing the word, adding to it, subtracting from it. And they were yelling out, "Peace, peace." And God said, "There is no peace." I want you to know that there is no such thing as a Disneyland religion. There is no such thing as a religion of make-believe. All it is just a false hope. And people are eating it up, and they believe that this is the real thing. I want you to know, and I know that you already know a lot of what I will be saying this morning, that the word sin is a biblical word. Brethren and friends, the idea of sin begins in the book of Genesis and terminates in the book of Revelation. From cover to cover, the whole concept of sin and repentance has been written in this holy book of God so that we may know what it is. It is a biblical term. It is a we find a biblical definition of sin. Isaiah chapter 59, and we're not going to read these scriptures because I'm more than sure that you already know them. But Isaiah chapter 59 is one chapter in the Old Testament that deals with sin and how God's hand is not shortened, that it will not save. But people here are confessing their sins, admitting the wrongs that they have committed. And then when you go to Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and verse 23, Paul says, "We have charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin, for all have sinned." So you find the word throughout the Bible. And when you come to the definition, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, sin is lawlessness. There is a law, but people have chosen not to abide by the law of God. And how popular it has become to avoid talking about the definition of sin and what it does to mankind. I want you to know that no one was guilty of sin because of pronouncing the word sin. When I hear Mr. Osteen and people like him talk about sin, and when they defend their practices of not wanting to deal with it, it leaves me the impression that it is a sin to use the word sin. People have been guilty of sin because of committing lawlessness. That's what it is. Not because people use the word sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The consequences of sin. The Bible has something to say about this. That the wages of sin is death. We all recognize these words. We have been taught from the very beginning. But you know, let me point out here that no one will escape his unrepented sins in the judgment day. You may avoid pronouncing or talking about sin. You may live in this fantasy world. You may live in this make-believe world. You may live with a false hope. You may live with a false sense of security. But I want you to know that you will not escape your sins in the judgment day. You can't wish them away. You can't hide them away. You cannot avoid facing up to the reality of having to give an answer to God for the wrongs that you have committed. And let me tell you this morning that we know about sin because God wants us to know what it does for mankind. From cover to cover, all you have to do is just read. All you have to do is study. Meditate upon God's word, and you come away with the idea that this is what God wants us to know about sin. And this idea of living in a make-believe world, no wonder our society is the way it is. When people are living a fantasy instead of living reality. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the word repentance. It is also a biblical word. And by that, I mean that we find it in the Bible. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 6, the writer makes the statement that no one repented of his wickedness. There you have repentance. And of course, it's talking about people that did not want to repent of their sins. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus makes the statement, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And when we talk about the definition of repentance, there's no better scripture than Matthew chapter 21. Those two men that were told, one was told to go and do a certain work, and he said, okay, I'm going to go. And he didn't go. And the other one was told also the same thing. And he said, no, I'm not going to go. And he went. Repentance is a change of direction. You're going a certain direction and you repent. You make a turn. You change the way you're going. You change your direction in life. And let me also tell you that no one was guilty of sin because of pronouncing the word repentance. Again, these people leave the impression like it's a sin to talk about repentance. To use repentance in our vocabulary. The person that was found guilty of sin was the person that committed lawlessness. That's what God's word says. Has to say about repentance. But you know, maybe this is one good reason why people don't want to talk about repentance. Because some people lost their lives because of preaching repentance. Of course, you're familiar with this already. John the Baptist, Jesus, and Stephen. Just to mention three individuals. How far did they get in their life? Not very far. I mean, you can't get very far when you don't have a head. And Jesus died at the age of 33 years approximately. Of course, I don't know how old Stephen was. We have no idea. But what we do know is because of preaching repentance, these people lost their lives. And that's probably why people don't want to do this. Can you imagine having thousands and thousands of people come into an auditorium? And then all of a sudden you start talking about sin. What do you think is going to happen? Slowly but surely, they will start to get up and leave. And more than likely, they'll never come back. Because that's not what they want to hear. They want to hear that there is no sin and no responsibility. We are told in the New Testament that all sinners are commanded to repent, to turn from sin in order to be forgiven. One of my favorite scriptures is over in Acts chapter 3 and verse 26, where a very simple statement is made by the apostle Peter concerning repentance. Listen to this. Acts chapter 3 and verse 26. To you first God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. The whole purpose of the coming of Christ, his life, his teaching, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. Everything that you hear about Christ and that you read about Christ in the New Testament had something to do with salvation. And salvation is made possible through repentance. That's what the Bible has to say concerning repentance. And we know about repentance because God wants us to know what it does to mankind. You know, I have a hard time understanding. Because I want you to know that these people, either they are eating something different than what we eat. I want you to know that I think they know deep inside their heart that they are deceiving people. Because repentance is the solution to the problem of sin. And sin has been in the world from day one. And will be in the world until the last day. And to misrepresent repentance is really to do a disservice to people that are in sin. But you know, there's something very interesting here. That these two words, sin and repentance, are found many times together in the Bible. And again, we're not going to read these. Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. When John the Baptist was preaching repentance for the remission of sins. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. When Jesus was also talking about repentance and remission of sin should be preached throughout the world, he said. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Very well known scripture. The answer that Peter gave on the day of Pentecost. What must we do? Don't talk about it. You want to be saved? Don't talk about it. It doesn't help you. Don't talk about sin. Don't even mention repentance. That's what you need to do. Was that the answer that he gave? He gave, repent and be baptized. That was what he answered when he was asked. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts chapter 5 and verse 31. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. And it goes on and on and on. You find sin and repentance in the very same scriptures. And what makes it somewhat interesting is the fact that Jesus and his apostles preached sin and repentance. So why would we not talk about it? Why not preach about sin and repentance? We should also preach it. And by the way, Christ ordered his apostles to go and preach repentance and remission of sins throughout the world. It's a commandment that was given to them. So we cannot ignore the fact. And we also know from the writings of Paul that God's kindness is meant to lead one to repentance. And this is another strange thing. In nearly every assembly that takes place at Lakewood, it is spoken about God's love and how God loves you, and he wants to make you happy, and he wants to make you rich, and he wants to make you profitable, and he wants to shower you with so many blessings. And people eat it up. They say, that's fine, that's what we want. But God's love, his kindness, is used here to encourage repentance, to bring about repentance. And furthermore, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Isn't that something? What an effect. What a joy it is to read and know that in heaven there is joy because someone repents. And these people are avoiding talking about what will bring joy in heaven. Brethren, there is a scripture that I want you to notice in Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. What does he want? What does God want? He wants repentance. And he does everything within his power to encourage people to turn to the right. Are you subject to the Lord's invitation this morning? Have you had enough of this false religion, this false sense of security? Have you had enough of this talk about sin that it just a negative thing, when in reality it is destroying your life and no telling how many other people's lives? You can make things right this morning. Shall we stand and sing?